Hello, hello. Welcome back to A Rip in the Veil, your safe place to discuss everything that makes you feel unsafe. Before we get too far, you guys, I just want to give another disclaimer. Does every episode have a disclaimer? I feel like it does. I'm having so many issues with my sound quality. I know some of my episodes have not sounded the best. I actually made myself like a cheap sound booth out of a plastic bin and some padding, so I'm hoping this sounds a lot better. I'm afraid it's still too echoey, but we'll see. See, and the problem is, it's like when you do hours of editing at a time, sometimes you just don't realize what it sounds. It all sounds the same, dude. It all sounds the same. So then it's not until I come back to it, with fresh ears that I'm like, oh shit, it literally sounded like I recorded inside of a coffee tin, and I sound nasally and metallic and weird. So my apologies if that is still happening. I promise I'm trying to figure it out. But like I said in the past, if you have any experience with Audacity and you know how to fix the problems I'm having, I am seriously all ears. Feel free to shoot me an email. I will definitely consider re-recording some of those past episodes if that's something that you guys would be interested in, because I know that they're honestly hard to listen to. Like when sound quality is bad, like it's really hard to listen to something. So I definitely am willing to go back and redo those if that's something that you guys think that I should do. As always, send any advice, comments, any personal stories to my email, aritvpodcast@gmail.com. So today we're going to try to keep it light. There's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. It is March 19th, 2020. And if you're listening to this in this current time, you know, shit is crazy right now. Everybody's getting quarantined because of the coronavirus and everyone is stuck inside. So if you found me because you're stuck inside and you're quarantined, welcome. I intended for this to be like a lighter, more holiday, St. Patrick's themed episode. But the more I dug, the more I found out it is not exactly light. But here we go. Anyway, this is definitely one of those topics that has a lot of folklore and stories surrounding it. And we are talking about leprechauns, people. And what better than the day surrounding St. Patrick's Day to tell their stories. So even though their origins of the two are not really related, us humans have mashed the two together, and these small, shoemaking, gold coin-hoarding little guys have been made the face of the holiday. So let's fucking do it. So the name we use today has developed after many deviations, from Old Irish to Latin, with a multitude of different spellings. So according to Wikipedia, the latest theory is that that was actually published last year in 2019, states that the name could be influenced by the word luperci. It's relating to the Roman festival Lupercalia, a festival about purification, health, and fertility. So I don't know exactly how that relates to our little leppies, but, you know. So they first appeared as mischievous little buggers that tried to kidnap a guy and drag him out to sea. The date is unknown, but doesn't that sound like a puck wedgie? Remember from last episode we talked about the puck wedgies? Maybe they're cousins? It sounds a lot like them, except less stabby, throw you off a cliff, more like mischievous jokester type. I don't know, but, you know, dragging someone out to sea isn't exactly innocent. You know, maybe they're cousins and they have parties where they drink gallons of beer and talk about the shit that they've done to humans. Or maybe not, because apparently leprechauns also like to be in solitude, but I don't know. I'm still putting money on a mystical midget party. Side note. I would pay a decent amount of money to see a leprechaun or a puckwudgie do a keg stand. And that is coming from someone who is practically a legal midget themselves. So apparently, the clothing that they wear depends on the region they are from, literally what they're wearing and also the color. And apparently, they are originally thought to be underwater creatures, which, a few sources said that. I don't know exactly how they would have adapted from underwater creatures to what we know now. But the underwater creatures could be male or female, which obviously differs from the all-male leprechauns that we've seen today. Now, what I could not find is how they reproduce these days, but we'll get into that a little bit later on how they are kept alive. So, let's go back to 1989 in... okay, this is supposed to say County Louth, but I left out the O in County and said Cunty Louth. So that's what we're going with. So in 1989, in Cunty Louth in Carlingford Mountain, P.J. O'Hare found a little suit and bones with a few gold coins. So obviously, a lot of people think this is a hoax, but not everybody. Okay, so Q. Kevin McCoyt Woods. Okay, the Leprechaun Whisperer. Dun, dun. He then held our leprechaun whisperer. He then held a leprechaun hunt the same year to try to prove their existence. It actually became a yearly tradition. Now, they were unsuccessful and apparently have been unsuccessful ever since, which doesn't really surprise me. I mean, I know it's become an annual tradition, but do you really think that dozens, if not hundreds, of people running through a forest or the mountains or wherever they are is going to make them want to come out? You know. Anyway, so in 2002, he found more gold coins in Carlingford, but this time it was near a stone wall on Gone Road, so slightly different location. So it was after this that our whisperer got his name. The coins apparently gave him the ability to speak with the Carrig, C-A-R-R-A-I-G, which is the elder of the remaining 237 leprechauns. Okay? If that's real, 237, that's a lot of little leppies, okay? That's a lot of little beards and little magical hands, okay? So, this is what I was talking about earlier about the what keeps them alive. Carrie claims that the leprechauns have died out because people stop believing in them. So, I don't know how they reproduce. I don't know how leprechauns get down, but apparently they die because people do not believe in them. So, while of course there will always be skeptics, there was enough for the surviving leprechauns to be given protection under the European Habits Directive in 2009. And to give thanks, apparently the little leppies leave out little cauldrons in the streets of Carlingford, and apparently spend their days at Slate Rock in the Cooley Mountains, specifically below the Foy Mountains in the Cunty Louth. We're gonna jump into the encounters, because that's the more exciting shit, right? I want to know who's seen a leprechaun. I want pictures, I want dates, I want times. But see, that's the thing, is this is another encounters where people have tried to get pictures of them. You know, they either see the light, like a flash, and they run away. People, we'll get into it in a second, but people have not been able to actually capture proof, which skeptics would be like, ha-ha. But to me, I'm like, well, it's really hard for us to get proof of, you know, say the paranormal and ghosts, and I am definitely a believer. You know, once, if you've listened to my first episode, you know that I have experienced my fair share of paranormal activity, and once a believer, I feel like you are always a believer, because you just cannot explain that shit, right? And it is extremely hard to get proof of something that a lot of people have experienced. So, it's kind of hard to rule out. I feel like there's a reason we cannot actually get proof of them. So, let's get into the good shit. So, some of these more personal accounts actually came from Reddit. Most of the subreddits that I pulled these from are supposed to be real encounters, you know? Like, No Sleep is one of the more fictional, like, people can post stories. These are from Paranormal Encounters and Hominid Encounters and subreddits like that, where they are really supposed to be valid, like true stories. So the first one we're going to talk about is from like 200 years ago in Ireland, where Molly Cogan recalled a story where her grandfather caught one in his stable that was working on a shoe. And this is in Kilmallock. Kilmallock with a K. Now, the leprechaun tricked him into letting him go by saying he would give him a gold coin. And then when he let go of the leprechaun for, like, him to reach in his little pocket and he's get his little coin, he just ran away laughing. So, obviously, that was not very successful. Now, okay, remember our little leprechaun whisperer? Some bitch is back. After he became the owner of the coins, he started to have leprechaun encounters. Like I said, that's when he was apparently able to communicate with the Carrig. So his first leprechaun encounter was in the woods, in the mountains, and he was walking his dog, and he came across three leprechauns on a rock. Now, they did not notice him. And that seems to be a common theme with these magical encounters. Now, you know what else seems to be a common theme? It's one of the most terrifying, yet intriguing topics to me. Any guesses? No? We're talking about time loss. So apparently when our little leprechaun whisperer, L-Dubs for short, L-Dubs got home, he had been gone for 7 hours. He thought he was gone for less than two. So that's so interesting to me because anyone, again, that's listened to my first episode knows that both my sister and I have experienced time loss. And it's one of those things, you cannot explain it. Not only can you not explain why they happened, but you have no idea what happened during those gaps in time. So I feel you, L-Dubs. Shit is weird. So now we're going to move on to the Reddit encounters. So I am going to, of course, give these people credit. I will tell you their username at the beginning. The more detailed encounters are the ones that I found on Reddit that were a little bit deeper, a little bit more buried. You know, you gotta go back like 6 pages on Google to find. But the first one is from the user HelpfulPerson1. And they were just recalling a story they heard in a bar, but I thought it was interesting. So this person is recalling a story that a person told in a bar about their father, okay? So this is like, I mean, there's quite a bit of distance between this person and the story, but I thought it was interesting nonetheless. So this person's father saw a leprechaun making shoes and was completely unbothered by his father's presence, which again is another common theme. It's like, do they just not give a damn? Or can they not see or sense us until we make contact? And is it like more of like a trance thing? I don't know. Isn't that kind of weird? It's like they completely just ignore our existence. But anyway, so that, even that being said, did not seem bothered by the father's presence. As he approached, it's like he hit a force field like 10 feet away and could not move any closer. So I find that one really interesting because it's like completely not acknowledging the human right there, but then I guess it either acknowledges it enough or is protected enough? I don't know. Maybe that's just some magical shit going on. This next one is from Existential Dread 14. Cheery. So this one is two separate stories. Again, I'm going to briefly summarize them. This user went into a lot of great detail. So if you want to check out all the details of the story, definitely go search their username. So, these two stories are from Western Pennsylvania, and neither of them are the user's, like, specific personal encounters. And like I said, they go into a lot of detail, so I'm just going to briefly summarize them. So, the user believes that they actually saw Tommyknockers, which is essentially the Western version of leprechauns. Both descriptions, like physical descriptions, are very similar. So, 2 feet tall, dirty clothes, and red hair. So one of the encounters is from when she was a kid. Okay, so this story is from a childhood best friend that grew up in a haunted house and saw a leprechaun twice inside of her house and said that it, quote, did not look like the leprechauns on the Lucky Charms box. So, side note, increased activity, possible vortex, does that attract these little guys? What, you know, I'm wondering if there's a connection there, I guess is what I'm saying, because people say that with gnomes too, and I am not grouping gnomes into this, even though I'm sure it's possible some of these encounters are gnome encounters. I tried to just go with the ones that specifically described leprechauns, because gnomes are kind of a whole nother category, and they seem to be a little bit less mischievous, but again, if that's something you guys are interested in, we can definitely dive into those as well. Like I said, does that possibly attract these little leprechauns? Who knows? So, it happened to her friend when she was a kid. The other story is a cop that they knew, and apparently they hit this leprechaun or Tommyknocker with their car, and it just fucking hopped up and did an evil fucking laugh and ran away. Like, an evil mocking laugh. Okay, alright, we're moving on. Like, fuck that. So, this next user is Bark My Words, like bark, like dog bark. Now, this is a little bit more specific and detailed as far as the timeline and the location, which I thought was interesting. So, this was in Detroit, Michigan in August of 2013. Two people were at a park and they heard laughter. What is it with this fucking laughter? So, they thought someone was messing with them and they told them to stop, enter more laughter. They just kept fucking laughing. That would honestly be one of the worst things to hear when you're freaked out. Like,
I'm gonna drag you into the ocean.
Fuck that, dude. Anyway, so two leprechauns floated out of a tree, and they had a stare off with the humans for a couple seconds. But when the humans tried to back away, these little shits jumped towards them, like clearing the 6 or 7 feet between them in an instant, and proceeded to bite, scratch, and hit them with sticks that they were carrying. Like, apparently they had these sticks that were kind of like walking sticks. And I mean, if you're only 2-3 feet tall, you know, that's not, you know, it's not as big as, say, our walking sticks would be. And that's coming from, again, someone who's practically a legal midget. So they started to bite, scratch, and hit them with these sticks that they were carrying while screaming and laughing. These little mischievous little fucks. The people eventually got away and had minor injuries to show for it, but I could not find any pictures of the minor injuries, and that was in 2013. We definitely had mobile cell phone cameras. I want to see the pictures of the injuries, but anyway. So, this episode would not be complete without the Creighton, Alabama sighting from a few years back. Witnesses say that they saw a leprechaun in a tree that disappeared when a light shone onto it. You can actually find the news report on YouTube, complete with a sketch. A professional sketch at that. So I'm actually gonna stop the encounters there because, I mean, seriously, like, there are a lot. If you keep digging and keep digging, there's a lot on Reddit, actually. I had some trouble finding some that were actually encounters from Ireland, but in that search I found some information saying that some of the native Irish people actually find leprechauns offensive. I don't know if that's really true, but definitely a lot of the stories regarding the folklore and the history that are based out of Ireland, of course. There are definitely a good amount of people over there that believe, so I'm willing to bet that there are a lot of good stories, and maybe they're just harder to find because, I don't know, maybe they got buried for some reason, maybe they're more true, maybe they don't want to share them because they don't want it to become like a touristy thing. But either way, I mean, they already have an annual leprechaun hunt, so might as well, you know, back some of it up. So, speaking of that, obviously, we have little evidence. Now, the bones that were found, and you can find pictures of these leprechaun bones, they have not been tested, though. But why? Why? I mean, I don't really know if they're legit. Would humans be able to handle it? I mean, if I were the owners of those bones, I would want to know, but maybe they don't want to know. Maybe they want to keep the mystery and the kind of fantasy of it alive. If they are a hoax, that would explain the hesitation to test the bones, though. But, you know, that's hard to, without really testing them and seeing, you know, trying to get DNA from them, we really would not be able to tell. Now, supposedly, L-Dub also has a notebook of conversations he had with the Carrig. But again, no one has been able to test and prove whether the information he received is legit. Which, again, I mean, the hesitation does seem a little suspicious to me, but at the same time, maybe this guy has just dedicated so much of his time and his life to it that he does not want to be proved wrong. Or maybe to him, the encounters he's had are real enough to him and he doesn't need the proof. He doesn't need to prove it to anybody else. I mean, either way, I definitely recommend looking at the pics of the skeleton. The shape is quite interesting. I would love to see if the gold coins could be carbon dated as well. Like, they look really old. You can find pictures of those as well. They look really old. Like, they're kind of beaten up looking and misshapen. Like, they've been worn down over time. So I would be very interested to see if we could actually, like, sample those. Like I said, carbon date them. Something. Give us something. You know what I mean? Because they're, like I've said with other topics, there have been so many encounters that it's like the truth kind of has to lie somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? So like I said, that was supposed to be a more lighthearted episode in the midst of everything that's going on globally. But you know, the whole biting, scratching, evil laughter thing isn't exactly the cheeriness holiday cheer I was fucking looking for, but there you go. You're welcome. And I think that'll about do it today, you guys. Please stay safe out there. Hopefully everyone's distancing themselves from others. Until next time, friends.